What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we are with Adam and Josh from The Flies. How are you guys?
Good.
Woo!
Hell yeah. Well, guys, it's really cool to have you on here. I got to say, but first, I'd like to just know what you guys are up to. Either of you could jump in first, like busy with, I know you guys are each very busy with art. Josh, I know you do art. Adam, you seem like you're just busy with a whole bunch of shit too. So yeah. Aside from The Flies or including anything like that, what have you guys been up to?
Josh?
Well, I
attended Juilliard.
Luge lessons. Plumbers and rec pool. Honestly, I have a lot of fun jamming out with my local yokel buddies in my band Star Zero.
Okay.
So that's like our little love letter to Seattle sound and all that stuff. And we, you know, it's very sludgy and kind of more on the grunge kind of tip.
Nice.
But, you know, Adam and I had so much fun doing The Flies. It is absolutely ridiculous the fact that we're doing it again. it's really funny. So the potential is endless.
The comedy potential is endless.
The comedy potential is endless.
I last year I did that thing, like classic thing that our dad would have done. I mean, I've never really talked about this. By the way, the new swag.
Oh, I gotta give me one of them.
Oh, the new swag. The new
look
swag.
At that! Look at that! Look at that! Oh yeah! Oh, no.
Great.
Anyway, I got hooked up with this company that makes submarines, and we sold everything we had, and we got a deal from the History Channel to go look for Roman Empire treasure. And so we go out there, everything's gonna, I mean, amazing. We're gonna live there. We did it. We sold everything. We're done. And freaking of course the horrific tragedy with the Titan submarine happened, and dude, nobody wanted to know our names from no one. So we were stuck in Europe, and we just rolled up our, you know, credit card debt, and we just lived there for a while. All the cameramen, everyone went home, and it was just us sitting in Europe with nothing to do. It was pretty wild, man. And then we just made it back here, like just like a few months ago, we came back.
Oh, okay, right on. Yeah, that's awesome. And well, it's good to know you guys are keeping busy and everything. And I guess I don't want to ask you guys questions you've heard a million times before, so I'll try and keep those to a minimum. But I like to talk a bit about the early days of The Flies, like back then, if you don't mind. And
no, go.
First off, so I'm 27, so I missed the heyday, I'd say. I think Holiday Man came out like a couple months before I was born. But I listened to that CD all the time growing up. I remember I got that at like an FYE or like a Half Price Books or something, and I just played the shit out of it. And like Take You There, you know, that was always one of my favorites. But anyway, I always thought that you guys had a very unique sound in that whole landscape back then, because I think it's fair to say that alternative post-grungy kind of rock, like, it got a bit crowded with bands, I think, if you look back at everyone who was popping back then. But I always thought you guys like stood apart with that album especially. And I was wondering your guys's take on it, like how would you guys describe your sound from then, and how did you like do your best to carve out your own identity and all that when everything else was kind of, I guess, oversaturated is not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
You know, like Josh and I being brothers, we just collabed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a totally natural collaboration. And the band, we were all, whatever you would kind of call the rock of the day. I think it's really common for the rock of the day to be whatever it is. It was saturated as hell. My friend, I had this friend, dear friend of mine. His name was Roy Thomas Baker. He just recently passed away. He's like a super famous producer. And he used to tell me how saturated it was at that point. You know, even Queen, who he produced, was just a knockoff of Led Zeppelin. That's what he called them. They wanted to be Led Zeppelin, right? And if you listen to the first records, you know, its saturation was part of it. We did not have any sort of strategic planning other than It was just a collab. Josh was doing what he was doing, and we were doing what we were doing. And we just started off basically just going out on the road. And after that, it like we formulated what we did. I mean, we used to do Black Sabbath covers, like in the form of like
reggae,
you know, like reggae and that and big band. We had a whole set that we used to play. Remember, a whole set Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and jazz. You know,
From my perspective, it was like Adam and his band had already kind of established themselves as number one, being incredible players. And you know, their band was 100% like amazing as far as my estimation of, you know, everything, the drums, the bass, the guitar, my brother's vocals, his writing, everything was totally on point. And so I think that I was really just a huge fan, you know what I mean? And then but
the drummer
also,
especially. How about the drums and bass? I mean, obviously the guitarist was unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
That drummer was freaking ridiculous.
Drummer was went into Queens of the Stone Age after our band and is a great drummer, played with Peter Murphy and all these amazing players. And it was just a great band. And then when Adam and I started doing our thing together, the vibe of us just being brothers and having fun and it being 100% for real and me being so
that's what
different,
hit.
You know, and
yeah,
my influence being different. And then him folding that already into this, what was going on. And then all of a sudden I was a weird X factor. And then it was like, yeah. It was a super fun situation. And
that's like a perfect example. Like we were kind of butting our heads, like working real hard to make something of ourselves. And then Josh came in and he was like the spark plug that, that changed the group, you know, like yep. That's, you need something. And you know, that's what happened. And then it was like, it's crazy, meteoric rise. Like, you know, the song took off immediately. And I remember we were rehearsing in Hollywood and like just dead broke and whatever. 8 days later, we were playing Woodstock.
Wow.
I mean, it was for real, like that fast. And I remember coming into the label, which was part of Interscope Records, you know, mm-hmm. And everyone was like all like freaking out, cheering. And I was like, what's going on? They're like, you sold 3 records in Seattle and 7 records in Toledo and 9 records in Florida. And I was like, okay, that's 63 records. Why are we cheering? They were like, you don't understand. That's just, you know, back then it was such a thing. The music business was such a freaking thing. I mean, you could write a book on all that, but it was like immediately everyone, you know, heard the sound and then we go out. That's it. We were on the road. I mean, we played with every major act. That's the one thing that I must say to our credit. Like, I mean, you can't name a band that we didn't tour with. And that's what's so cool. Like people, we'd be on tour with one thing and somebody would be like, oh yeah, Aerosmith or you know, the Rolling Stones or, you know, and I don't know. It was pretty incredible.
It was a real trip. Definitely one of the things that helped us to grow was that we could back up the songs in a live setting.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a strong suit for us because people really didn't know what to make of us. And we kind of just wigged out in our own space. And it was like, whoa, like a take it or leave it type of situation. And most of the time people got down with what we were doing. And, we got to play all over Canada and Europe and America.
We played the world and beyond.
And it was like a real amazing experience to have, as far as just being a music lover and being a person who loves music history and music trivia and stuff like that, and going to places and being a part of you know, just being in rooms and clubs and, you know, the, with all that lore and everything, it was really great, really great for me.
Yeah, so, for sure. It was one of, I was, you said that, and it reminded me, we were, we did go, like, people seemed to like us right off the bat. One time we were bombing, I'll never forget, Cincinnati, Ohio. On the
river. That's where I'm from.
We were bombing, dude. I don't know what was up. Everyone was sitting. I mean, people were flipping us off from the sidelines. And on stage, we were playing with, what was the B-Reels band?
Cypress Hill.
And I go over to the side of the stage and there's B-Real and I'm like, oh, we are bombing. And he's like, you're not doing great. And I go, dude, I mean, what do you think it is? It's like, is it because you and me and Josh were the only Mexicans here? And he goes, yo, bro, you're on your own. I'm Cuban. that was it. I knew it was over. But then, honest to God, this is the truth. Whenever we would get into trouble, we would freaking bust into Crazy Train by Ozzy. That was it.
That'll do it.
Show back. So yeah. True, man.
That's Robert. Awesome. It's funny. Like, when, and I'm sure a lot of people think differently about whatever decade. Like, I look back at like the 90s music and really specifically like the kind of music you guys played, like that alternative rock, because it was like such a wide span of music. And like, it doesn't, like, you look back at it now, at least in my opinion, like, it doesn't sound dated, you know? It doesn't sound weird. It's crazy. I was wondering, like, if you guys think the same thing about that.
I think that when I listen back to it, I feel like I'm the person who sounds the most dated. But the song itself is so timeless, and that it's a doo-wop thing, and like, I don't know, like, Adam had all these great little references and nods that he would put into songs, and I would just kind of like amplify them, like, mm-hmm. in a really direct way. And
but like, you're talking about the 90s, it is a weird thing that, and I don't know, maybe it was just so freaking competitive, because you'd play in Seattle, you know, and back when we were just coming up, and dude, the bands that would be just like, I will never forget, we were playing somewhere like Frogs, or we doing a meet and greet for the label, I don't remember what it was. And I was listening, like, what is that band? That just some band that was playing, you know, and it was White, the White Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that time, I think there was like us, there were a bunch of metalers, that were transitioning from the death of metal. And those were all super talented guys, like Staley's band, right?
Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. And mm-hmm. and even to some degree, like Soundgarden, all, it was a very metal sound. And then all these true alternative rock guys that were part of, you know, the Seattle scene and elsewhere, all over the place, they brought a whole new thing. So you had these two groups that were just fighting for attention. And if you didn't have the songs, I don't talk rock and roll a lot, but I can tell you that when I do talk to people about rock and roll, I always remind them how, like, we would go into a room and be like, oh, Collective Soul, we're playing with that, you know, and then they would just fucking bomb you with mm-hmm. five of the best songs you ever heard, or you know, Linkin Park or whatever it was. It's like, you'd be like, oh God, Three Doors Down. Okay. And next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, Eve Six. And, mm-hmm. No, frick, Creed. I couldn't believe it. Creed.
Creed was,
you'd
the
go old. There and they would bomb you with the songs. That does not happen today.
We opened up for Creed, just us and Creed, in Birmingham, Alabama, which I believe is their hometown. and it was New Year's Eve of 1999. Right? So it wasn't Y2K. And we went out there and we did real good.
We killed it.
Fresh, we sounded good. Everybody loved us. It was it was great. And I was like, I kind of was like, well, go for it. You know, like, let's see you follow that.
Yeah.
And they came out and they did a full blown Come to Jesus with like YouTube style Bono, full universal, like hallelujah. And the guitar player, the Tremonti or whatever his name is, Hendrix, just fucking wailing like a, like you wouldn't even, his guitar is going around the whole arena like a, it was insane. It was like, I'd never even heard guitar playing. Like, I was like, the other guy that I can think of that was like that is like John Frusciante.
But yeah,
like, I don't think people think of that dude as being like to the caliber of that, of John Frusciante. But you go and listen to it.
Yeah,
that was very cool meeting all those great guys and listening to Third Eye Blind play their whole record before anybody had ever played it. And we were in San Francisco and they were like, they were playing under a fake name and they played that whole record with all those hits and
unbelievable.
And there was nobody in they did it on purpose because like they could have had a huge show, but they were just like testing or whatever. And they were super sweet, wonderful guys. And they were playing these songs and they were all going to be number one songs. And there was like five people in the bar and we were just going, oh my God, this is insane. I can't believe how great these guys are. It was like, it was so cool.
But if you look at,
sorry, I was going to say the bad side of that was me being so young and so opinionated and snooty and being like, how much I hated everything. And oh, I hate those guys and I hate these guys. And you know, that was that part. I'm glad that I grew out of that. But yeah, go ahead.
But if you look at some of those bills, some of those festivals that we played on, no joke, it's like, holy crap. I remember like I don't know where it was, but I know that we played in front of Lenny Kravitz. That's what I remember. But I remember Hole was in there. And then I remember
it was Miami.
I was remember thinking, oh, you know what? Freaking I did not get Limp Bizkit at all. Even though we were in their thing. And I can't remember where we were. It was Woodstock or it was one of these shows. I mean, I was on side stage and they came out and we had killed it. Like, oh my God. Like that show and freaking like, you know, a few bands later then Fred and those guys came out. And I was so floored. I was like, is this really happening? Like, is this thumping this hard? And he was barely even doing anything. Like, I worked really hard, Josh and I especially, we worked really hard. And it just seemed like when he was doing it, like it reminded me like of that weightlifting guy, you know, that guy that comes in like Antonio or whatever, and he's got the beard and he like has an 800 pound mop. That's how it was. I mean, but you know, they had bands that did that to them. It's just, it was ridiculous. The 90s music, both pop and rock, it was like the zenith of the songwriting experience. Everybody was throwing everything they had, everyone swinging for the rafters. And it was very difficult to get a record deal because the guy would be like, well, you know, he'd show you something, you know what I mean? It's crazy, the bands that were in the trash can. I mean, no doubt, my friend who owned our label, he told me, he was like, I picked No Doubt CD, the orange CD with her picking the whatever, with all those, with the hits, right? All those hits out of the garbage. At Interscope that they had, we don't get it. Like, that's how many good records were in the pile back then. And you know, to the credit, they all came out. Every one of those bands, no matter how small they were, you know, as obtuse from Cake, Eve Six, you know, and all the way to the middle ground where you had bands that were just hit machines like Sugar Ray and all the Offspring. And yeah, I'm very proud that we had a little tiny taste in there. That
absolutely.
Josh and I can always say that we made it to that, you know, to that group of dudes that were real hitters, you know?
Before the whole music industry took a shit.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that next. Like, I if you guys kind of like keep up with how it all is now, like obviously now streaming. Yeah, like now it's all streaming. It's social media, and yeah, it's like it's completely different. And like, have you guys? I obviously I checked out your guys' social media and stuff, and like you do like everyone else, not just you guys, but you do your best to promote what you got going on. Like that's what it's for nowadays. Mm-hmm. I guess like has it been hard to really evolve into that, or like have you even do you care? Like you know what I mean?
Really good question, bro. Really, really good question. I saw a meme of Jeff Buckley, mm-hmm. and it said, imagine telling him to make branded content.
Yeah, TikTok.
You know, the truth is that most, well, everything that I do, basically my wife does it, you know? And she knows me. She knows what I like and what I don't like. So people have told me, like, God, you're so sensitive. I'm like, I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, it's a different world, but I guess let's talk about you guys like reforming, I guess. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was last year, right? 2024 was when you played, right? I guess,
but that was just a one-off. That was just a one-off,
right?
This is it. This is the start.
Okay, cool.
This podcast.
Okay,
is the start. Literally.
Okay. Well, what pushed you, I guess, it's a pretty broad question, but what pushed you to want to get, you know, back in the saddle, whether it was last year for the one-off or now, like wanting to keep going with it? What pushed you guys into wanting to, you know, go for it?
To be totally honest with you, you know, just the internet, like people were playing the songs and people contacted me. It was like, hey, your song's here, your song's there. And you know, I saw you and Josh, you know, and then I went to Josh one day and I'm like, hey, would you do this? Cause I'd be honest with you, I don't think I would do it without Josh. And you know, the other guys, like they have lives and they're, you know, I don't think they, I mean, I certainly would play with Nick. I'd play with all the guys again, you know, they're amazing players and everything, but you know, we're all grownups now, past grownups. But it was just that it was alive again, you know? Mm-hmm. And like my daughter and her friends and they're like playing these songs, you know, my daughter just freaking, she's just crazy over the 90s music. And, you know, like, that's impressive that the sound came back, and or maybe it never left. I don't know, but and then I've had people call us, like, you know, other musicians, and just be like, where are you guys? Get back together. And then finally, I just, you know, I asked Josh if he would do it. And he was like, of course, you know. I mean, it's he's got a band that's really great band. All it does is help. You know, nowadays, everything that you do obviously helps what you do. You know, everyone has such a broad. Oh, did I go?
Am
I
there? No,
I got you.
I'll just answer my version of that question real quick, because I've been trying to get Adam to do the flies again for years. But because I've had people like he mentioned, call me up and say, hey, would you guys like to do blah, blah, blah? And it's just like, yeah, of course I would. But, you know, for one reason or the other, I think maybe the fact of trying to put everybody back together, or just also the fact that Adam has been doing so much stuff all international. And I mean, I don't fault him for not wanting to get into a sweaty van. The alternative is being in you know, Malta or wherever. But I started jamming out with my buddies, my like childhood buddies that I was in like my first band with again, just for my soul, you know?
Yeah.
And that I've been doing that for about 4 years now. So it kind of got me back into the mindset of just doing music for music's sake and getting together with my buddies and trying to record a record and make and do something creative and stay true to our vision. And it's just, it's very rewarding on many different levels. And I feel like the fact that when Adam wants to do something, he always pretty much does it the right way, that does a pretty good job at doing it. So it's kind of a good timing for us because I've been working real hard at music anyway.
Yeah.
And now he's coming in with the whole flies thing again. So it's kind of, we could kind of almost, you know, do, I'd love the chance to play in front of larger crowds and kind of show people what we do. Because I feel like I'm better now than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Josh is like I'm still figuring out if I still got it, but Josh is like never lost it, and so he brings like a kind of almost like, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, you should go do it with our older brother Dave, because my brother Dave's a really good singer. I was like, go do this with Dave, but you know, I set off, I got a boat and I set off, you know, around the world trip. And so that's where I was. I was like gone through the whole time where, you know, I think a lot of people of our friends were still in music, like the guys in Lit and Eve Six and, you know, all those other bands, the Offspring, they all stayed together pretty much, you know, Sugar Ray, all of them. Limp Bizkit that played here and there. But like, we really like, we're a surfing family, you know, we have this whole other part of our lives. Like Josh is just such a killer artist. Like his artwork is like on all over here on walls and on buildings and stuff. And so for me, I'm an adventurer at heart. I mean, I got into music from being a professional surfer. And, you know, like I'm very much even though I don't look it, I'm very much like a, you know, like a glorified prepper in very many ways, not politically or anything like that, but just like, I love to know that I could like go into the wild and, you know, protect my family and feed myself. And especially at sea, like, you know, I'm a licensed 100-ton captain and like all these things like filled my life. And I was really happy because music was a really sad thing for me. Like it was tough being a musician, and I'd been it pretty much my whole life. And so I was stoked to go do my thing. You know, I have 5 kids. And then like miraculously, like it came back and it's been a joy. Like, I don't know. It's been fun, and it hasn't been fun for a long time, you know, a long, long, long time. And so I'm really looking forward. We got a real agent and like real manager and like, oh yeah, you guys are, you know, big time. And like, we're already playing next year. Like, festivals are booked and like, you know, like here we come. It's really, really wild. And, I think about it, I don't feel old. Like I don't feel like, oh, you know, like an old guy up there, because all my peers are still rocking, you know. Like the guys from Blink, like this is their biggest tour ever, last year and this year ever, and I'm going, wow. And you see the dads with their kids, and it's just great that it's almost like the music business sort of fell off the end of the earth, and but there was like this thing that lasted. And, you know, it's just the 90s touch people, that sound. And I mean, like you say, you weren't even born when the song came out, but all of a sudden it's like, you hear it and it's that era and you could just keep playing those tracks, yeah. You know, it's insane. It's insane.
Yeah. And I gotta say, like, the cool thing with you guys, when I went and like, I made sure to like dive in, do some research on you guys before, obviously before I do the interview. And it was the really impressive thing to me is how you guys do have, like you said, like this whole, you know, you have your life going on, like aside from the flies, right? Like you yeah. have a whole nother life going on and have had it going oh, yeah. on for a long time, and being able to go back into it and have fun with it. Like that's yeah. like a really cool, because like you said, a lot of your peers are still out there playing. Most of them yeah. probably haven't stopped playing since then. Yeah. But like, it's cool to hear the other side of it and like to see like they still have the drive to do it. Like, you know what I mean? And still yeah. have the want to and are happy doing it. And I'm curious, I know Josh, like you were talking, like kept playing music and stuff. Adam, from your point of view, was it easy to slide back into, you know, to the saddle per se? Okay. How'd that all go?
PTSD. That's the only way I could describe it. I just can't believe like how, you know, how strangely tolerant everybody is. Like in our day, it's like it was so gnarly. Like we didn't have everything perfectly right. Like Josh and I used to get, no joke, like where people were going to kill us if we took our shirts off, you know? And if we took our shirts off, we were going to die. That was it. You were going to
Everyone
die.
Hated us so bad.
Everyone hated us because of it. And today I play with people and whatever, and it's like, guy doesn't even have a guitar cord. He's like, I'm like, wait, you can't even plug in. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm still enjoying it. And I'm like, wow, I do not know how to deal with this. So that all of the transitions, it's all been very weird and very hard. And, you know, I didn't even know if I could sing anymore. And obviously, you know, the cool thing is like my voice is like 20 years younger than me because I haven't sang a peep in 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think it's a blessing. I think the whole thing is incredible blessing. And I just, yeah. I would love for it. I love to play more and take off and have people see us again. And because I think that this whole era is like, I don't know if it's never left, but it's sure as hell back.
Yeah. Yeah, and like we love to see you guys back. And you said it earlier, like the 90s music, there's something about it, man. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like kid, my age is younger than me now. Kids are jamming to that shit, and I love to see it. But let's talk a bit about the Rhythm and Resin Festival coming up. This is going to be out, I think, a week before it. You know, we're going to try to help get some people there for you guys, hopefully, if I'm doing my job right. So let's talk a bit about it. And I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, so surfing isn't really a big part of my life at all, so I might need your guys' help here, but I did a little bit of research of that, too, and from my understanding, it's like the festival is to, like, celebrate, like, that culture, right? And, like, I saw, like, mainly, like, specifically the board builders. Is that literally the people who, like, craft the boards and, yeah. like
legendary
that,
guys.
Yeah. Like, that seems like a whole culture in itself. Can you, like, oh, yeah. talk to me a bit about that?
Well, our dad and our whole family came from that culture, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of these spots that both Josh and I, we just live right here in some of the most famous surf spots and the best surfers in the world.
Yeah.
So culturally, these guys that made these boards, they were legends. And you know, they're getting older and there's not, you know, who's going to replace them. And there's that whole thing. And so it is really like, you know, the Ohana Fest is here. There's a lot of that going on, beach festivals that are combining surf and music. Cause it's so interrelated, you know, it yeah. really is interrelated. And this is
great branding. Everybody, I mean, the Ohana Fest could be anywhere. It's Eddie mm-hmm. Vedder and all these great, artists. Yeah. And, I mean, they could be anywhere, but where we are in San Clemente, Dana Point, San Juan Capistrano, it's like, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Mecca.
People like it a lot. And the Rhythm and Resin Festival is kind of like the local, you know, the local festival where all the people who live here and who are related to one another are like putting in together to do this show. And this year with Tunnel Vision, which is like San Clemente's hot new artists that have been on the radio and they're really talented. And then Jacob's Castle, which is like Jacob Knoll from Sublime, mm-hmm. who's like on everybody's radar right now and doing that. It's going to be a great show. I mean, it's going to be a classic.
And event. Pearl, our girl Pearl, who's like hot right now. Smoking she's like hot. Killing it right now.
She's very attractive.
I think she's rad, but you know what, for us it's in our backyard, it's a good start, a good, you know, start of the whole process, and mm-hmm. then we'll play next month maybe, but after that we're going to gear up for, you know, maybe New Year's, and then, you know, this is all part of like getting a few things under our belt, so
yeah,
next year we're going to tour. I mean, we've already signed off on shows on the East Coast. So, you know, that's a big responsibility to be like, okay, you know, dad's going to go rock and roll. I mean, we both crazy blessed that we both, just like our dad, we have little kids, mm-hmm. right? Like I got like little kids. We got little kids. And so it's really a joy to go through this with them, at least for me, where my toddlers are just like, singing the songs and they got the mics in their hand. I mean, it is just crazy. I never thought it would be so much just, you know, fun to do all this. It has never been fun for me. I don't know. Music's been a freaking chore my whole life.
Well, Adam's a very highly tuned, you know, finely tuned instrument.
I'm like Dale Earnhardt. You know what I mean? Shirt. It's like,
yeah. Adam's like a F-35 Raptor, and I'm like that club that Jason Momoa carries and before the human teeth coming out of it.
I think at that show that we played with Three Doors Down, I think Dale Jr. was there. I think a few shows that we played with them, you'd look over there, there'd be Jr. just sitting there rocking out, drunk.
That's a good feeling.
Just so into it.
The East Coast, the Southeast was our biggest market. Yeah. So literally we could like go there and like all we would have to do is just like be cool to people and give people hugs and high fives and stuff. And everyone is so stoked, bro. It's insane. It's like,
wow,
it's great. It's a privilege to be able to, you know, kind of remind people of that nostalgia. My brother and I have fun the whole time while we're doing this.
It's great. Joke.
It's really
not like before we would be playing and Josh would come over to me and he'd say, I feel the cold grip of death.
Well, I'm deeply mentally ill, so it's been a lifetime of mastering that, but I'm in a good place right now, so I feel like, you know, that's part of it. Our story is good. We have a good story. We have a nice little message to tell everyone with our silly little band and our songs and our silly family thing and the silly surf deal and all that stuff. It's lovely. It's very Disney. Right.
Yeah, and I could tell you, like me, along with a lot of other people, we're glad to see that story continue for real, guys. Like I was so excited to see the first show you did last year. I was like, no shit. Like I was super hyped for that. So I guess before we get out of here, guys, and thank you so much for doing this. It was great. And but before we get out of here, the $1 million question: do you, once you get those, you know, once you get some more stuff under your belt and you really kick it off, do you see maybe new music in the future? Any studio time, something like that?
Maybe. I, you know, it's weird that you say that. The other day, I heard something in my head. I was like, wow, that's a song. And it's funny that you say that it's funny that the timelessness, like Josh was saying, like my daughter listens to Avenged Sevenfold, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, I avoided those guys like the plague when they first came out. Now I listen back and I just cannot believe how good some of their the way they play, just everything about them. I don't know. I was hearing something in my head, and I know Josh has a bunch of songs and stuff, but that'd be amazing. Like if the inspiration came together, you know, the sky's the limit. We'll just see what happens. I think the important thing is that, you know, we are digging it. We're enjoying our time doing this. And that is just makes all the difference in the world. You know, like it, like the audience can tell when the band is really like there. And it's just a pleasure. And I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to like do a little bit of it again, you know, just in between the cracks and see what happens. You know, you never know. You never know.
I hope that we do write new music because Adam is a prolific writer. I've always been a fan of his style of writing. And I feel like if we had the opportunity to write a new record, then he would almost be forced to unleash his vault.
I'll put my shades on when
he that he has. And then I could tell you right now that, you know, it's being an artist, a visual artist, and telling stories through, you know, through visual storytelling and narrative, you know, figurative narratives, you see things in a different way, and telling the story and the message is so much more important. You know what I mean? Because every piece of art is like a message, right?
Yeah.
So now, like, understanding that and thinking like, what is the flies? What would be? I mean, it's dope. It's like, there's so many influences on that Holiday Man record. If you just revise that, you didn't even think about it. There's one of my paintings.
Oh, that's dope.
That looks seriously crazy in this camera.
It's psychedelic.
Like, that bitch. That's I say hello to Dad every morning. He's like right there. I'm like, hi, Dad. And I turn the light on. I go, hi, Dad.
Domo, arigato. Thank you, brother.
Anyway.
But anyway, yeah. So no, for real, there's a lot just right there. You wouldn't even have to think about it too hard. Just start like grease the wheels and put on the disco and then add all the other influences and don't be afraid and don't hold back. And it would be sick. It would be super sick.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, brothers.
Thank you for...
See you out there soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very excited. And thank you guys again. I guess also before we go, plugs, like website, socials, is it all under the flies?
It's all the flies. And Josh and I have our own, but yeah, it's the flies and Josh Paskowitz, Adam Paskowitz. We're everywhere.
And Star Zero. Check out Star Zero.
Star Zero, yeah.
Star Zero.
If you dig, if you dig like grunge rock and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and all that stuff, then you might be able to actually dig Star Zero.
Hell yeah. Well, I'll check them out too, then, because I love that. So thank you guys.
My laptop is running out right now.
That's all right. I'll end it. I'll end it real quick. Thanks everyone for listening. Also check out Ray's Rowdy Alternative. Check out the flies. Rhythm and Resin Festival, September 6th. Make sure to get there. We'll see you guys next time.
Aloha.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self.